Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, Health for Partners After Sexual Betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we gotta do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
That's exactly right, Stephanie. You deserve to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I work with a lot of therapists that think this whole disclosure process is too painful, too hurtful, and too traumatic. And what I know is that they are right. It is traumatic. It is painful. It can be hurtful. But what we know is that you can't make any decisions in your life unless you know the truth. That's where I'm coming from. You have to be able to know the truth. And we have done studies and research that says, hey, now that you've had the disclosure, would you rather not have known? I mean, if the research indicated that partners really did feel so traumatized by the process that they wished they wouldn't have done it, we would probably change how we do things because we're all about you, the partners at AppSats.org. But the truth of the matter is nobody says that they wish they hadn't have done it. They admit to the pain, but they also say they're glad that they could make a decision based on the evidence. And most partners, when they hear the evidence, they choose to stay. What they become cognizant of, if you will, is they're able to see that their husband's sexually addictive behavior was so out of control, was so compulsive, that it really reinforces how this was an addiction. And then what they realize is they need to know how they can trust that they'll know in the future if there's more addiction to come. And that's what we help them with too. Now, I was asked by the former president, an executive director, if you will, of AppSats, to have our partners get online and make this research even more empirical and more evidence-based. So what I want you to do is to get on www.appsats.org. And you'll get on that homepage. And I'm going to walk you through this right now. When you do that, then you'll look for the part that says, hey, be a part of our survey. It's down at the bottom. There's a video by Dr. Barbara Steffens on treating partner betrayal. And so you can view the surveys and decide, what would I like to do? Would I like to do a partner survey? Would I like to do an intimacy anorexia, intimacy deprivation survey? Would I like to do the professional survey? If you're a professional currently working with partners, a partner therapist survey, this is where clinicians can identify how they are helping their clients. And if your loved one has sought treatment in residential or intensive outpatient settings, there's a partner advocacy survey. We want to know that you were treated properly at the treatment center when your addict spouse was getting help. Now, the other thing is that if you've got a spouse and you're currently in that relationship, you can have him take the addict survey, and that will really help us too. Believe it or not, we're advocates for the addict. I mean, we want them to get the best treatment possible. And so, I would ask you, you know, is it possible for you to help us with our survey by really going to that survey page at the bottom of our homepage and filling it out? Now, I know we've got a lot of coaches and clinicians that listen to this show, so if you haven't done this, but you too were a partner, are a partner, please get on and do that for us. We're only as good as our research, and we know that it's you all that give us the feedback to make it better. So that's what I got to say about that. And I did want to say one more thing. It's not at all about surveys, but there is a specialized partner program. It's called the Wholehearted Partner Program, and it's through Naked Truth Recovery. And that can be found at www.nakedtruthrecovery.com. And they're offering a new 6-week topic group on triggers. Now, it started yesterday, and it's 6 weeks, and it is 7 p.m. UK time. And I would encourage you, it's about dollars for 12 hours. To learn how to handle triggers. So if you need more information about that, you can go to the website. Again, that is www.nakedtruthrecovery.com and find out more about that program. We're always looking for inexpensive ways to help resource you. You know what I mean? It's important to do that. Now, I wanted to share with you that I am putting together a workshop, a 3.5-hour workshop for addicts in recovery. And I'm going to include the wife. And it's called Help Her Heal. And that's July 18th. And I do believe that is at 10 o'clock. But before he can do that, at the nominal cost, trust me, I made it super affordable to attend this workshop. He has to go through my online course, period. My online course and the workshop can be found on Sex Help with Carol the Coach. Go to the homepage, scroll down, or go to the workshop tab, and you have to sign up for both. Now, the steal deal is, if he does that, if he signs up for the online course and completes that, and he will always, 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 always be able to take that course over and over and over again. There are 11 modules. I'm talking to them. I'm giving them homework. I have YouTube videos I want them to watch. There are, I think, 26 articles. When he goes through that, and I know you may be thinking, oh, that is way too much for him. But he can pick and choose as he likes. Then he can pay for the workshop on July 18th. It's a Saturday. And you can join him for free. So you pay one price, but two entries. And I just think, you know, here's what I believe about men, and especially about addicts in recovery. They need repetition. They need, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, to hear things over and over and over again to get it. And, you know, this is a workshop on empathy. And empathy is one of the toughest skills ever. So I would encourage you, if you will, to get them signed up first for the online course, then for the workshop, and you come along for that workshop. And you can look at the course, too. It's very informative, and what you'll be doing is going, that's exactly how I feel. She's got it right. That's what I need. That's what I want. Because Help Will Heal is an amazing opportunity for men to learn how to help their partners heal. Women can too if they're sex addicts, but I really wrote it for the man to help the woman. Now, today, we're going to be talking about stabilizing your financial house and health. And I am interviewing Erica Young, who's a financial coach, and she wrote this book called Naked and Unashamed, 10 Money Conversations Every Couple Must Have. And I reminded her, I said, you know, I think any couple would benefit from this show, but I got to tell you, what I'm dealing with is I am dealing with partners who have experienced great betrayal. And they really need to know how to protect themselves financially. Because unfortunately, many partners are dealing with the aftermath of their husbands acting out. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that, you know, perhaps one of the things I always do with sex addicts is I ask them to itemize how much they've spent, if you will, on their addiction. And I ask them to itemize it from two different places. The first place is I want them to write out how much money they spent on their acting out. What was the gas like? Where did they go? Did they get hotel rooms, prostitutes? How much pornography did they buy? And then I also ask them, now that they're in recovery, how much money have they spent on recovery? You know, I have addicts that have been in treatment centers one, two, or three times. I've got addicts who have, you know, been to therapy for 4 and 5 years. So they are really supposed to identify how much did this addiction cause them. And I know that you get what it may have meant to you when your husband decided to become a recovered sex addict, and he shared with you everything he had done. Now, that third way I have them identify their financial losses is sometimes men have lost jobs because of their acting out. You know, sometimes they have avoided new situations, new positions, because they had their hands full living this double life. So I'm really excited that Erica Young is going to be talking about the conversations that every couple must have. Her new book, Naked and Unashamed, 10 Money Conversations Every Couple Must Have, gives solid advice for couples who want to transform the way they deal and manage their money. So, you know, it's very, money is a subject we were taught never to talk about. And then you have all those psychosocial stereotypes of who actually runs the money. And I know that if you've been through partner betrayal, you may have taken over the money because you want to know that your accounts are protected, what's going in and what's going out. Partners deal with it in lots of different ways. So I just want to welcome Erica Young to Partner Betrayal Radio. How are you doing today, Erica?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I really love this topic for anybody, but especially for partners who've experienced betrayal, because there is so much loss in their life and they're rebuilding. And obviously, you talk about these conversations that every couple must have. So
right.
I'm kind of wondering, you know, you obviously made the choice to get into this field, and I want to ask you, what made you decide to go into financial budgeting and, as you call it, developing a tailor-made budget?
Yes, yes. Well, honestly, because I didn't have super great role models in my upbringing around money, but I was told lots of things in terms of what you need to do in order to get your life started in the right way. And some of those things that I was told to do were to go get an education. When you get married, you guys get a house, you have a couple kids, and you just kind of go through this process of how you advance yourself in life. But no one ever said how you manage the money. I wasn't taught how to manage the money. And I think that that's very typical for a lot of people. But for my husband and I, we really wanted to have more than what our parents had in terms of education in that realm. Both of us mm-hmm. came from single parent households, and that was sometimes a taboo topic because it's difficult for single parents to figure out how to manage money and what they need to do when they don't have someone to bounce ideas off of and to have some shared goals. And so we were trying to figure out how can we become committed to a solid financial future when we didn't have the background to speak of. And so it got us on a journey of learning and what we needed to do. And in that process, I started seeing how important it was that you have a partner in this, and that you don't have to walk that path all by yourself. And so I found coaching as an avenue to help other people get on that right path as a team.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I find that many of us, based on what we didn't get as a child, figure out how to go into that and create what we really need as an adult. So,
yeah,
it sounds, I was just referencing prior to you coming on that, you know, money is one of those issues that you're told not to talk about, and you don't ask anybody
yes.
about their money situation. And yet I do all the time. And sometimes that can feel offensive to somebody because they've been taught not to talk about it, and it might put them in a precarious situation. But
yeah.
you, having gotten that coaching, you're the expert, right?
Yeah. Well, the good news is that the more we talk about it, the easier it becomes. And I have worked with hundreds of clients. And so for me, it is an easier conversation because I see when light bulbs go on. I see when transformation happens. I see when people understand their best next step that they ought to take and they get excited about it. When they can actually look at their future and say, wow, this is interesting. I think it's going to be okay. And so I get excited about that. That's what fuels me. That's what keeps me moving forward. And so I think it's really important for everyone to find that thing that's going to help them be propelled forward. And sometimes my role is to help, you know, initiate that, nurture that, and give that a place where they can really move forward uninhibited around their money. And that's challenging when you have to break down some of how we've been taught and the secrecy around your money.
And so let me ask you, obviously, finances are tough, and you have some specific recommendations that you make. And I realize that you reference financial infidelity in your book, and you talk about how to overcome it. So tell our listening audience, what is financial infidelity, and how would they overcome it?
Yeah. So I'll start with myself. I hid purchases, lunches with coworkers from my husband by using a credit card that he didn't pay attention to. So infidelity, of course, occurs when basically you're not telling the whole truth and you are misleading and doing something behind your spouse's back that's not beneficial, you know, to your relationship. And so people don't think about money being one of those areas, but it happens all the time. It absolutely happens when we bring in packages that we don't want our spouse to see. You operate outside of your financial means. You know, it can be as strong as signing their name, using their credit card, doing business with your money as a household that the other would not approve of. And so it's really, you know, not operating under the contract that you guys have and the agreement that you guys have that you're a team. As simple as that. And so though we may see the slights that are made as not that big of a deal, but they do add up, and it makes it easier and easier for you not to fess up or for that spouse not to fess up because you just start getting good at it. And so nipping that in the bud is really, really important. And coming clean is what I call it. And learning that you have a safe space. I think you have to create a safe space. You've got to have some ground rules for the conversation and say, hey, there's some things that I want to talk to you about, and I'm not really sure how to say it. It's going to be very difficult, but I'm trying to preserve our relationship and make certain that we're on the same page. And in that conversation with me, I had to say, okay, I'm ready for that. And my husband, at the end of that conversation, he took the credit cards away because the truth is that I couldn't be trusted with them, you know. And so if I really wanted us to move forward financially, then I was going to have to let go of what I thought was freedom, and it really wasn't. And so we may have to let go of some things, or your spouse may have to let go of some things, or you're going to have to put up some healthy boundaries in order to combat that infidelity or to strengthen trust, regain trust where the money is concerned.
That makes so much sense. I'm going to talk to you about the flip side, and that is that in partner betrayal and sex addiction, oftentimes what happens is that if a partner finds out her husband is lied, I'm thinking about a couple where he was minimizing the amount of cigarette smoking he was doing. What we know is when one addiction gets better, another addiction make it worse. And so she referenced you're spending too much money on cigarettes. And he said, I'll work on that. And then he didn't. And when she found out that he was spending hundreds of dollars on a smoking a month, not only did it make her not trust his word, but it took her back to all the trauma of the initial infidelity of his sexual actions. And so it's interesting that you call this financial infidelity, because it is the same thing, only different. It's about not being honest with each other, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think here's, we can't just say to people, fix it, right? Like my husband couldn't just say to me, stop using the credit cards. What I had to own up to is that I didn't need to have the credit cards. That was a boundary that had to be put up. And it, in that case, it was only $10, $12, $15 on a routine basis, right? It adds up for sure. That could have been $100 a month. But, and so it wasn't, you know, earth-shattering amounts of money, but the principle is the same. We have to help develop healthy boundaries so that people can be successful in what they have committed to. So if they've committed to not overspending or not using the credit card or being upfront about what's happening when they pay the bills and things like that, give space for some boundaries and be prepared for boundaries on both sides. Everybody needs to have a boundary. And so I think that it's important that we commit to staying within those boundaries, because honestly, left to our own devices, it's difficult for us to commit to things. We don't want to. We don't want someone to tell us what to do, per se. We don't want to stop the habits that we are addicted to. And sometimes we just don't know how. And so holding people accountable is a huge deal. And making sure that they have support, and either you're taking classes, you have counseling, you're reading books, you're surrounding yourself with ways to improve in this situation and find new ways of having a healthy boundary that fits your household.
Well, so give us an example. How have you worked with couples and had them determine that?
So one of my early prospects, she wasn't a client at the time. She came to me and said, hey, I'm saying this to you because I haven't been able to say it to my husband. And I knew at that point, I said, oh, here we go. But she said, I've charged $25,000 in credit card debt, and I really want you to help me get out of this. And so I had to put up a boundary and say, I can't be party to you continuing to not tell truths to your husband, because in the end, that doesn't work out for either one of us. It's not good for him to find out that you were charging and then also that your financial coach was party to it. Like that's not a good idea. So I said to her, I said, before you and I can work together, I need you to fess up to your husband. And I know that this is going to be difficult, but here are a few things that you can say. And so you say, I need a safe space. I'm going to say some hard things. But I'm really trying to be very bold and courageous in saying what it is that's next. And I just want to understand that we are in this together, and I want to hear from you that you're just going to hear me out, right? And so get that confirmation. And then here's what I've been overwhelmed with. I've been paying all of the bills, and I haven't known how to handle it. And the way that I've made it work is to use credit. And so now we have $25,000 in debt that I had not told you about. And I want us to work together to try and figure out how we can do this. And so I walked her through the conversation. And the other piece of this is letting her know that he may need to take the credit cards if he is more responsible with the credit cards themselves. And if they're going to be working together as a team to figure out how to manage their money, then as a team they do that. And that means that she doesn't need to have these credit cards anymore. She needs to submit those up, because that's her part in this process. And so she called me. It took 3 months before, you know, she called me and said they had a really great conversation and that they're ready to move forward. But walking her through it so that she can see what needs to be said and why those things are so important to be said, and creating the safe space and being willing to have some healthy boundaries and being open to that was huge. And so I had to make sure that I didn't fall prey to that, but that I educated her on how she can be successful in that conversation.
Yeah, I really like that, and I'll tell you why. Whenever somebody is fearful of a consequence or of sharing, if they can say, I really need you to hear me, and I'm afraid of, to tell
right.
you what I need to tell you, it always makes a difference, always.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think if we express, yeah.
And that's what you did. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to express your feelings because we're human. We're not robots. We're going to mess up. We're going to stumble and trip over ourselves, make mistakes. It's not going to be perfect. And admitting those frailties and owning those frailties is important. And it also reveals our humanness, and being humble in the process is huge. You know, I think if we all accept the fact that we're not going to always do it right, and I just need you to be here for me because I've not done it right today, and I will be here for you when I know at some point you're going to mess up as well. We just have to know that we're going to be a team about how we move forward together.
100%. And so tell me what you see as some of the most common issues with couples around money.
Well, you know, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One is facing the reality of where they are. So it may not even involve infidelity with your finances. It may simply be that we want to see no evil, so we close our eyes and we don't pay attention to how much debt we have, or the fact that the budget is unbalanced, or that you have children about to enter college and there's no money. How do you say no or manage that conversation? A big one that concerns me the most personally is not being prepared for retirement and waking up one day and you're in your 50s and you're like, so now what? Like, I kind of in the next 10 to 15 years want to retire. What do I do? And so I think couples tend to disagree about the method to reaching these goals more than they disagree about the goals themselves. I find that most couples are in agreement that they want to retire, or that they want to move to a different state, or that they want to send their kids to college or what have you, but they will squabble typically over the method, the how. How are we going to do this? Because they have different viewpoints on what that looks like. And so as a coach, my hope is that I can shed light on why each perspective probably is necessary, and how do we come into alignment? You don't have to agree all the time. I still don't always agree with my husband on financial matters, but if you are in alignment, meaning you are going in the same direction, looking towards the same goal, and you each have unique ways that you're bringing your skill set to the table, that's the best place to be. So you just don't want anybody to sabotage the progress. And I think that that's the key point that we have to remember.
Yeah, I would absolutely remember that too. And, you know, I think alignment is really, really important. Now, I want to ask you, you were honest enough to share your own issues with us. And at the same time, I want you to tell us, how would you help someone to get back on their feet financially? What would you tell them
yeah.
to do?
Well, it depends on what caused them to get off their feet. So if it was financial infidelity, and I'll share this story because I think it's applicable to our audience. My father was never great at money. And my parents are no longer together, and they've not been together for many years. But part of the issues in their relationship were because he would overspend and overdraw on the account routinely. And in order to preserve that season of their relationship, my mother had a separate account so that the bills could get paid. So this was a healthy boundary that she put up in order to make certain that the light stayed on. And that the bills got paid, basically, so that we can have food on the table. Otherwise, my father wasn't paying attention enough to what was in the account. And he wasn't a heavy spender or anything like that, but it was just mismanagement of funds. And that could be sabotaging to a lot of people. But in order to protect them, the household, the, you know, like I said, getting food on the table, my mother said, okay, well, we've got to separate this account so that I can get these things done. And sometimes if a person is not a good money manager, that may be necessary for a season. It is similar, in fact, to when people have experienced sexual infidelity or they need to have a separation for a season to see if this is going to work. Separating the money may be necessary for a season to see if they can make some of these other things work. And so, like I said, it could be in season to see what's necessary next, right? Because you've got to pay the bills. You don't want to add another trauma on top of an already difficult issue. But if people aren't seeing eye to eye and it doesn't have to do with money mismanagement, the very first thing that I tell people, couples, to think about is think about your shared goals. Where do you see yourself in a year, 2 years, 5 or 10 years? Where do you want to go? Like, we have to find where we agree before we do anything else. I want people to dream. I want people to get excited about the future. I want people to imagine what life could be like if they were to accomplish these goals. And when you do that, that excitement fuels positive action in the forward direction. And that's what we're looking for. That's exactly what we're looking for.
And so in your book, you talk about the importance of having these really hard conversations.
Sure.
What do you think are the major things to look out for in today's turbulent economy, especially now because of COVID?
Yeah. Well, the big things, there's a couple of, let me explain a little bit about the conversations. First of all, I think couples really need to talk about their money past. And so the first section of my book is about the money past and how you grew up around money. What were you taught or not taught? What was said in your home as a child? Things like that. Looking at your money present, knowing where you are today and facing your money reality, and then thinking about your money future and where you want to go, why you want to be there, what are your passions, how can you do that? In today's climate, people have to assess their money present and is it changing or affecting their short-term money future. So in the next year, for instance, I need people to be thinking about how stable is your job? Is your income changing at all? A lot of people due to COVID are experiencing some type of loss in income. Some people, up to 25% of Americans have experienced some type of financial impact due to COVID. And it's not always a job loss. A lot of people now are experiencing a reduction in pay so that they can actually keep their job. And so assessing the stability of your job, also the stability of the current income that you have, assessing do you have enough money and savings to weather the current season we're in. And so what that means is you may need some money stored up or set aside in case there's a reduction in your income or reduction in force. And so I'm telling people it might be a good idea to pause any debt reduction so you can have a little bit more money and savings if you are seeing some writing on the wall that your job is not quite as stable as it once was prior to COVID. And so looking at those types of things in this current environment is super important. For those who are approaching retirement, it may be something to think about because of the market and the economy that maybe we're pushing off retirement for a little bit longer, or maybe you're building up your cash reserves a little bit more during the season because this wasn't really a great year to retire, right? Like, and so unless you were forced into that position, right? So we just want to make sure that your assets are in a healthy place and making certain that you have some cash for emergencies bigger than you probably did before. And it really is building some cushion around you and everything else going on around us. And that cushion is in the form of more money in the bank. Don't have any new debt. Let's try and avoid any new debt and doing everything that we can to strengthen your financial position overall.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so I love how the book is broken down because it's very, very readable and understandable. And how often do you work with clients? And what would you tell clients to expect from a financial coach?
Well, I always start off any prospecting session with a 30-minute conversation just to understand where they are, how I can help, what their best next steps ought to be. And I want to uncover at least one nugget that they can take away during that time that will bring them some hope and get them into action. And so I ask a lot of probing questions to understand those things and get them moving forward. And then we can decide if coaching makes sense. Sometimes people need marital counsel. Sometimes they need a financial planner or a CPA. And there's a part of me that's sort of assessing, is now the right time for coaching? Because it's intense. I meet with my clients typically for 6 months. We meet every other week for an hour. And you've got homework. You've got stuff to do so that you're moving forward. But my clients see, you know, at least a $10,000, if not $15,000 change in their finances during those 6 months in the positive direction, of course. And they have to be ready for the journey. It's not going to be easy, but it's definitely going to be worth it. And so I want them to know that they've got to be up for that. And, you know, so we just kind of have to make certain that this is the right time. I've often had people who said, nope, now's not the right time. I can't bring this on right now. And sometimes it's taken them a couple years before they said, you know what, now is definitely, I've got to do this. This is matters too much to me now. And that's okay as well. I just want people to be in the right mental space so that they are taking action and seeing results.
Well, that makes sense. You know, I was going to retire this year, but I was really just leaning into retirement. And I could see with COVID, even though I did not experience any change in income, but I thought, you know, I don't know what my stock portfolio is going to look like. So that altered my decision to obviously work a little longer and work a little harder. But the interesting thing is I didn't get married until I was 42. And prior to getting married, my husband and I paid about $1,000 to a financial planner, not to organize our finances, but to advise us how we should do things. When should we merge? Should we merge? Blah, blah, blah. And he very interestingly enough said, you know, you two are old enough that you really should have, and this, of course, was just his opinion, but we took it, ran with it, his, yours, and mine. And what I mean by that is that you have this combined joint account for all your household stuff, your vacations, but that you keep your money, some of it separate, because you've been single longer than you're probably going to be alive, and you're used to doing it that way.
And that
so
is completely – Yeah, that's completely an option for many couples, especially for those who have gotten used to their independence. And so they're getting married a little bit later in life, or they have, this is their second marriage, and they're, you know, a little bit leery, or they take pause a little bit marrying all of the money. But also just really thinking about, especially if kids are involved and you have children and you want to make certain that they get access to funds that you had before this relationship and things like that, you have to structure that properly and feel good about it. I just say these are the reasons that you have to have the conversations prior to, you know, getting too far deep into the relationship or getting married for sure, is that you want to have that out in the open. You don't want to assume that either of you are, you know, thinking exactly the same thing, and you want to make certain that those conversations are had before you tie the knot. So, but that is, you know, a valid thing to discuss and a way that many couples handle it. And that's kind of why I call my business tailor-made, because not every household is the same. Not every situation or circumstance is going to look alike. And so if we can look at each individual situation and get to know the client, then I can help them, where they are, get to where they really want to be.
Uh-huh. And so now I just want to ask you, obviously, you took away some of your temptations, and you took them away by giving them over to your husband.
Yeah.
Was that enough to get you to look at money differently and start saving in a way that didn't include a lot of extra purchases?
It was a catalyst. It was the thing that opened my eyes. So after that, we made some decisions to just start reading books and going to seminars and really seeking out information about finances, because we clearly didn't know what we were doing. And so we listened to the radio programs and all of that in order to get educated. And it spurred the interest. It was humbling, but it was the beginning of something awesome for us, to be honest. And there have been other times when we've had to make financial decisions, where we had to be open and honest and all of that about, you know, where we were. Because that happens all the time. I mean, we have different phases of life where, you know, I have a 20-year-old, and I've never been a parent of a 21-year-old. And so in this phase of life, what does that look like? What do we need to talk about? How do we launch her off into the world? She's a college student, all of those things. And so that still warrants conversation. And it spurs on new things that we have to discuss. And so I think that's a continual process. I absolutely think it's a continual process, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, even now. But I fully believe that if you can communicate about most things in your relationship, you can get through it. If you have the skills of effective communication, you can get through it.
Well, and that's what you're really talking about. I love the fact that you are talking about good communication, and we really believe in that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, is there anything else you would tell our listening audience, especially, again, because most of the people that are listening to this show have been betrayed, there's been infidelity, sexual infidelity, and now they're trying to rebuild their trust?
Yeah. Well, I think, honestly, we have to see what the financial impact, the total financial impact has been of the sexual infidelity. So where has this shown up in the money, and how much does that amount to, first of all? Because there is an impact. There's always some type of impact. And so, you know, knowing what that dollar amount is so that you can understand this is sabotaging our success. This is how you're gathering your facts. You're gathering your facts of this has cost us, you know, hundreds of dollars per month. And we want to get this right side up so that we can have a future. And so you want to get those facts together. I think it's highly beneficial to think about some of the healthy boundaries that you can put up to protect yourself and that of your household. And so these are things that you won't do moving forward. You may not be able to use credit cards, or you may not be able to go certain places because those are triggers, things like that. And so you think about what are the healthy boundaries that you can both commit to so that you can create a safe space for your relationship. And if you're not staying with that person, you have to do that for yourself. And then, you know, the other thing that I think is important is that if there's a conversation that needs to be had, it's okay to write it out or practice it. Like I shared about the woman that I talked to, you know, I gave her some tips on how to have the conversation. Here's what you do. And think about, like, all of the things that you want to say and need to say to, one, create the safe space, talk about the healthy boundaries, how are we going to move forward, what are we going to do, practice. Because in the heat of the moment, we can get very emotional, but if you've practiced and if you've taken the time to really consider all of the facts, then you're in a much stronger position.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Erica, for helping us to work on this issue. Communication is key, and sharing feelings, right, and
yep.
fears, and being rigorously
yep.
honest, and using an advisor or a coach who can help you work through it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, you make it a good day, and thanks for helping us with this hard conversation. Good luck with you, and good luck with that book.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So obviously, we've got a woman who has made it her mission to get people to get clear about their finances. It's ironic that she called it financial infidelity. She's right. It is hard. I have purposefully waited to bring in some packages before, and yet my husband has never had an issue with that. But I know when I've done a little retail therapy, and I guess we got to get honest with ourselves, don't we? I just got back from vacation. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. So we will talk to you next week for more Partner Betrayal Recovery Radio. I just am so thankful that you listen every week. I'm glad to be back. And if you've got a good idea for the show, if you've got a topic you'd like to talk about, if you have an issue in your own relationship and you would like to do one-on-one with myself, Carol the Coach, on the air, anonymously, of course, feel free to contact me at carol@carolthecoach.com. As I say, for every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Talk to you soon.
For more information, go to appsats.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.